Well, the mandates are coming. All the signals, the parties behind it, the propaganda pieces are behind it. Soon, Mitch McConnell will be behind it. You're going to make a decision that will affect the rest of your existence and that of your children on this earth. Does the government own your body? We'll talk about that. Plus, in a city fully owned by the party, it's impossible anymore to ignore the fact that Seattle's becoming the new Detroit, just as this program warned about 8 years ago.
Live and local on AM 770 KTTH, your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and I am thankful and glad within it. Made as a gift for us, an opportunity for us to rejoice. And these are the times in which God has decided we will live. We're not the first generation to face unmistakable tyranny. I will die saying none of this is about a flu. The mandates are coming. When we talked about the lockdowns are coming, when we talked about the fact that the lockdowns had nothing to do with 2 weeks, when I communicated and we talked about on this program, people are going to have to fight to get their actual freedoms back that have been stolen. Many of them are still stolen. Washington State has stolen private property rights, and they're still stolen. Businesses were stolen, and they're gone. And none of it matches the fatality profile of this virus. We'll talk about that during the show. But the push for the government to force you to put into your body an experimental gene therapy is here. They are coming. And they're coming partly because the American people, a good portion of people, resisted the woke mask and resisted the lockdowns, the selective, medically useless, deadly, politically motivated lockdowns of some people, while other people's wealth tripled during these selective lockdowns. And the failure of the mRNA injections is becoming impossible to hide. In fact, there's emerging data that indicates it's quite possible that some of the people who get the mRNA injections become more vulnerable to the COVID flu. There's an emerging data series on that. We'll talk about that during the program. About 7 or 8 years ago, started to say something on the show about the trajectory of Seattle and the trajectory of where things were headed. That if Seattle maintained the path on which it sat, walked, was pushed, was propelled, it would turn into the new Detroit or the new Chicago. It was inevitable because the environment has been prepped for Seattle to become another city like that. It's a local concern, and it should be, because it affects the lives of people far outside of Seattle. It's a national concern because it is the predicate, it is the model for what the party is doing to every city, every major city it controls. The results are incredibly, incredibly predictable. The results are the killing of a city, as we could all watch in all detail, especially this past weekend.
And there's an altercation in the parking lot. It's getting a little rough. Can you send PD over here, please?
Okay. That'll be King County. I have no idea what the response time will be.
Confirming that we are going to shut the tunnel down ourselves. Apparently, SDOT doesn't want to.
There was a drone to respond to an active commercial bird.
Tell them we don't have any resources available. Sorry.
Seattle is about 600 cops light. The level of chaos will only go up. 30 years ago, the great experiment began. Hey, let's reduce the harm of heroin addiction by having a needle exchange. This is how the party moves things forward. You bring in a dirty needle, you get a clean needle. It's a needle exchange. Very quickly, it became you bring in one dirty needle, you get five clean needles. Now it's you walk up and ask for a bunch of needles, you get a bunch of needles. Now it's now a government-funded effort to distribute heroin to cities outside of Seattle. Literally, you have people, government employees, distributing heroin and needles to areas outside of Seattle. There's no harm reduction about this. And it began with the myth 30 years ago that it was about harm reduction. Now, there's some people in the midst of this think, yeah, but Todd, we're saving lives. You're not. You are forestalling and delaying deaths from overdoses for some people, but you're not saving lives. Not overall. And the result of legalized drugs in a city this size is the same result as a city like San Francisco, of New York, Chicago. It's the same result everywhere. It is a destruction of a city. And at that same time, you have people saying, we don't need cops. Now, there's a middle ground. I had dinner last night with my mother. And my mother's a very liberal woman. She'll say she's a moderate. She's not. She's a hardcore liberal. She was talking to me about social workers taking the place of cops and how well this is working. And I said, yeah, Mom, in nonviolent cases where there's no violence to be expected, cops shouldn't have to do that. Right? If it's something that a social worker can handle, but they can't handle the violence. They can't. And now cops are not allowed to handle the violence. With the new laws that are going into effect here, Seattle's even more on its own. And you have to have rough people. I'm sorry. A civil society needs rough people to support the laws. You need an example? How about a Tacoma security guard who's just doing her job? And allegedly, she was beaten to death by a guy trained in the military. I think active military. Apparently just drugged this woman around like a rag doll, and sadly, she was murdered.
Court documents say he barged his way past Smith into the building she was patrolling. When she grabbed Byrne by the shirt trying to stop him, the court documents say that's when he began beating her for 8 to 10 minutes. Prosecutors say Byrne grabbed Smith by her braids and dragged her like a rag doll while she was fighting for her life. The documents say Byrne choked Smith until her body went limp.
Now, that's a man trained in violence who just completely fell off the mental cliff, was apparently intoxicated, and ended up allegedly murdering an innocent woman, just doing her job. You need rough men. You need rough people. In addition to kindness, the best cops, and I've seen it personally, the best cops can switch in between a validating, caring person, listening there to help you, and a rough person who can defend a life, their own included. The chaos that's being induced into the city, none of it is accidental. You live in a city where there are politicians who've pledged to destroy it, and they hold public office. Man sitting in his car in Roosevelt area outside the University of Washington. He shot and killed. Como News reported on that. That was Q13 reporting about this woman who lost her life as a security guard. You have victims' families in mourning again after what was, I know, this morning doing show prep. I kept reading. It's 4 lives lost, 7 injured, 5 lives lost, 9 injured, 6 lives lost, 9 injured. The counts kept going up. As I did the show prep this morning, the media kept changing. Seattle's Fox affiliate talking with victims, families, after this weekend of what the media decides to call gun violence, which is a propaganda phrase.
I counted about 22 shots.
A gunfight in Pioneer Square that sent everyone into a complete panic.
Someone looks at me and they're like, shooting, shooting. And I, you know, I let everyone in. Someone's having a panic attack and I tried to console them for most of the time. It was scary.
These things are not uncommon anymore in this area. They're commonplace.
I just saw a lot of people in this area and he started walking back to the club, and that's when he heard the shots, and he just stuck behind a car.
The owner of Trinity Nightclub says he's thankful none of his staff or his patrons were injured. He believes the shooting that happened across the street is connected to another nearby nightclub.
I just know the facts of the matter are that's when stage had let people out. This is when the incident happened.
This is the inevitable result of no policing, no punishment, no felony charges, releasing people from prison because of the COVID flu, not enforcing drug laws, allowing sex trafficking. We said it 7 or 8 years ago. Congratulations, Seattle. You're right up to the footstep of becoming the next Detroit or next Chicago, and it's the fault of Seattle voters. These are your murders, guys. You did these. With your votes, you're just as culpable as the shooters, and it's a nationwide thing. Let's look at Washington, D.C. Looking at the city, an area that's owned by the party, there was the death of a Clark County deputy was shot and killed this past weekend. And do you remember when cops getting shot and killed on the job kind of, you know, so to speak, stopped the presses? Do you notice it barely stops the presses anymore? 96% increase in cops killed in the line of duty in the last year. 96%, nearly a doubling. And it doesn't stop the presses. Nationwide, there is a combination of mania and purposeful destruction. The mania is that there are people who are good, kind, loving people. Like my mom is a very loving woman in my mind. I mean, she's my mom. But she's falling very close to the defund movement. Because you fall in love with the idea that social workers doing the job of cops. She was married to a social worker. My dad was a social worker. You fall in love with this idea, this sweet dream that you don't need rough men and women to stop violence, to prevent it. And we talked about some of the cases that haunt me because my mom is animated by, well, there's just too many deaths of brown and black people. I just so detest referring to people by the color of their skin. I just detest it. It just seems to me to be a tactic of minimalization. It's just an aspect of person that's the least nuanced. But she's fallen in love with this idea. So I talk about the cases like Eric Gardner, the guy selling Lucy cigarettes. Cops don't need to be out there for that. When Al Sharpton owes $19 million to the state of New York, when you've got grifters on Wall Street in Washington, D.C. not paying taxes, and this guy's selling Lucy's, that's the thing where the cops don't need to be called. Philando Castile telling a cop, I'm carrying. He did the right things, and that cop panicked. That happens. And to this day, the estimate from liberals about how many cops or how many black people are killed, unarmed black people by cops every year, the estimate is orders of magnitude. It's 10 orders of magnitude. It's 20 orders of magnitude outside of reality. 17 people versus 10,000 a year. That's what people get in their heads. So part of this is well-meaning people falling into the sweet dream. Part of this is a massive manipulation by the same mockingbird media that refuses to provide context about the COVID flu, that refuses to report on the sexualization of children, that refuses to report on the chemical and surgical mutilation of children under gender ideology, that refuses to report on the fact that Tony Fauci lied about every aspect of the COVID flu, that uses poll tested. The phrase gun violence came out of poll testing. It came out of advertising agency think, universally used by the mockingbird media. You have the DC police chief lecturing elites in Washington, DC. You know why they were disturbed in DC? Because the shooting happened in their part of town. These are really nice restaurants. Why are there shootings outside of our nice restaurants?
In the way that we're going and the things that we're trying to do, we want to help people. Yes, we should. But you cannot coddle violent criminals. You cannot. You cannot treat violent criminals who are out here making communities unsafe for you, for your loved ones, for me, for my loved ones. They might not want a job. They might not. They might not need services. What they may require is to be off of our streets because they're making it unsafe for us. And if that's what it requires, then that's what it requires. And we have to own that. We have to own it because if not, we see more of this. We see more of this in our communities. And then what happens? When someone's shot, you know, people are outraged by it. I'm outraged every time. Every of those 922, a lot of those 198 that died of that, I stood over many of those.
Gun deaths. Is that what they are? They're gang deaths. They're gang shootings. And when they're not gang related, they're dysfunction shootings. There is a cancer in the heart of people, and it's being made worse. The race grifters at the top, the elite race grifters, telling young black people, you don't have a hope in H-E double hockey sticks of any success. You know, forget Carol Swain and her story of growing up as rough as you can grow up and becoming a professor and an academic. Forget that. Forget Ben Carson. Forget the people who you can point to time and again as successes. That can't happen for you. Forget Barack Obama. That can't happen for you. And it puts a poison mindset in people's minds. And it's not always accidental, guys. The effort to split the country. DC is a great microcosm of the party and life under the party. I've told the story before about when I jogged by the security guard's home in Washington, D.C. when I worked at the Republican National Committee. I'm jogging by. And I loved my early morning runs in the D.C. area. And I had my CIA hat on and my headphones on and music playing. And I just somehow I heard this voice yelling my name. What the heck? And I stopped and I looked around. And there was the security guard from the Republican National Committee, Dwayne. Dwayne retired from there. He put two or three kids through college at the committee. He happened to be a black man. And I took off my headphones. Hey, Dwayne. He goes, what are you doing? I'm jogging. He goes, not here. You're not. What are you doing? I'm just jogging. Are you crazy? Get up here. And I walked up to Sasuke. Dwayne, I'm just jogging back to the committee. Where have you been? I said, I jogged across the bridge. He's, you don't jog through this neighborhood. You're crazy. You're going to get killed. You have money on you? I said, a little bit. Made me come inside. Have breakfast. He told his wife, this is Todd from the committee. She gave me orange juice. I wasn't ready to eat. DC is a microcosm because a quick run from there, I'm up into the $200 per plate dinners. I'm up into the multi-million dollar condos in a city run completely by the party. And they're upset because the shootings are leaking in to the restaurant district. Not because of the lives, not because of their policies, not because of the poison of race hustling. They're upset because, well, what's going to happen to my dinner reservations? This is a nice neighborhood. You got to shuffle this back to where it belongs. We don't want to see this. We shouldn't be forced to see the results of our policies. We want to be able to live the sweet dream again. And I love that the D.C. police chief just points that out in that exact way. The mandates are coming. You are going to face a decision. Does Tony Fauci and Big Pharma own you and your body or not? We'll talk about that as we continue in the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Hey, thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. The podcast is, the numbers are absolutely terrific. I was talking last night to a gentleman from the Netherlands who's listening to the podcast. I don't know how to be. I could spend all day communicating gratitude to our Seattle Live Radio audience because that's where the show got built. I ain't a smart man, but I'm not stupid. I also know that the podcast numbers are directly the result of EIB and God rest you, Rush, comfort your family. But I was talking last night to Niels from the Netherlands, who listens to our program. It's kind of a mind blower, really. We don't talk enough about the effect of distributed media powers, disintermediation, we used to call it back in the high-tech days, disintermediation. The disintermediation is having an effect that I don't believe the technocrats saw coming. I think the reason that there is knowledge about the other side of the COVID flu story is because of disintermediated media. I think as hard as they're trying, the technocrats are having a really difficult time containing the narrative. And let's compare this. Let's compare this. As much as, and they're getting more aggressive. I've got multiple screenshots and examples from listeners showing me that Google is going through and cleansing Google Docs of anything that could violate the COVID narrative, the official narrative. But most people who are afraid of the COVID flu are afraid because TV told them to be afraid. And you can go down to the nitty-gritty details like we'll talk about tomorrow. Finally, if you've been listening to the show, you know for over almost 2 years, I've been pointing out that the PCR test cannot tell the difference between influenza and COVID. You notice there was no flu season? I was saying at the time, said it for 2 years. Of course there's been a flu season. How many of the deaths called COVID were the flu? We don't know. It could be as high as 50%. We know COVID deaths were inflated by about 40% because they changed what counts as a death. We know these things only because of disintermediation of media, as hard as they're trying to stop it. And so they're becoming more fervent. They're becoming more panicked. We told people to be afraid, but not enough people are afraid. So we need to scare them even more. Delta variant, gamma variant, not working. So now we're at the mandates. The Department of Veterans Affairs has announced their healthcare employees are going to be forced to get the mRNA injections. Notice some things. No exception for people who have natural immunity, which yet another study shows is far superior to the mRNA injections. This is a study out of Qatari, a longitudinal study. In fact, two large longitudinal studies. Our friend Dr. Andrew Boston points this out to me. It shows vibrantly and clearly that natural immunity trumps any immunity, if any even exists, from the mRNA injections. But the Veterans Affairs Department is making no exception for people who have long-lasting, risk-free, natural immunity. Note this. They're not giving people the option of taking the antigens. What are the antigens? It's antibodies from people who have defeated the COVID flu using their immune systems turned into medicines that you put in your body to kickstart your immune system so your body gets what is very close to natural immunity without the risks of the spike proteins, which are leading to blood clots in far too many people. A small percentage, but it's changing the math. For many people, the math is on the side of no mRNA injections. Another piece of this that doesn't fit into the narrative and therefore does not make it into mainstream reporting, Sweden has been running, what's the number here? Average deaths per week from the COVID flu? Zero. Zero. They're the ones that didn't do masks. They're the ones that didn't do lockdowns. They're the ones most likely to have actual, long-lasting, natural, risk-free herd immunity. The narrative that has scared people is so profound and so clear to track back. You'll hear people say, I trust the science. No. They trust the TV. First of all, there's no such thing as the science. They trust the TV. They trust people like Circleback Psaki, which is just absolutely bizarre.
Status of employees?
Well, they're vaccinated here in the White House medical unit for the most part. Go ahead. Oh, Kelly, I'm sorry. I'll come to you next.
Two questions. One, this administration has long claimed that you're trying to give them a transparent history. If that's the case, why won't you just release the number of breakthrough cases that you've had of vaccinated staffers?
Well, I think first, we're in a very different place than we were.
Okay, listen to this answer. First, we're in a very different place, she says, at the same time as the party says the Delta variant and the Gamma variant will kill all the kids. It's far more dangerous than anything we've ever seen. That's lie number one. She's just caught herself, just pointed out the lie of the Gamma and the Delta variants.
6 to 7 months ago, as it relates to the virus. And as many medical experts have said, inside and outside of the government, those who are vaccinated are protected from serious illness. Most are asymptomatic if they...
Okay, stop. Protected from serious illness, perhaps. And asymptomatic. She's stating being asymptomatic as non-dangerous. For the unvaccinated, that's true. Asymptomatic people do not pass on the virus. We're learning that for a fair number of people who have received the mRNA injections, asymptomatic status does not mean they don't pass it on because the mRNA is hiding the symptoms even with people riddled with the virus.
Vaccinated who get the virus. We are in a different place in terms of the impact of individuals who may have, as you said, breakthrough cases.
So why not just provide the number? Are you trying to hide something?
No, but why do you need to have that information?
Are you trying to hide something? And Jen Psaki says no, but you can't have the numbers. Are you trying to hide something? No, but I'm not going to show it to you. Show it to me. No, I'm hiding it. And the mandates are coming. They lied about the PCR test. They lied about asymptomatic transmission. They lied about masks. They lied about school lockdowns. They lied about kids being at risk from this. They lied about no immunities. They're erasing the WHO is erasing herd immunity as a fact, or at least a very strong theory. And they're lying all the way up into mandating mRNA injections. And how are they going to make sure you had it? A compliance pass, guys. This is a time of choosing. If you give in to this, what are you not going to give in to? We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. See, that's a talk radio bump there. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. Hey, next week, we're going to start something, and have my friend Brian Suits join us on Tuesday. Brian is, man, he's a lot of things. He's a combat vet, I think two tours. He was a medic and then not a medic. He's a talk show host. He's now on his own doing a podcast, darksecretplace.com. He is as expert as they get on national security and has been tracking China from perspective of a military mind and what they're doing. So we're going to join him on Tuesdays and have him come on and just talk about what he's seeing in terms of a military mind looking at China, because we don't really have the leadership of our military. Sadly, many of them have become absolutely as compromised as so many other people in so-called leadership. And this is just so evident when you look at this. It's not just General Miley and, well, I've never read about white rage. I've never read about it, and I don't know what it means, but it's a very serious thing, and it requires study, though I have no idea if it exists or not. That's not at all something that inspires any confidence. It's not. And I was just looking this weekend at another general who's busy pimping the mRNA. A military guy is pimping the mRNA, and when someone on Twitter called him out and said, "Hey, do you maybe think that you should concentrate on winning wars?" A United States general tagged the guy's college, which is Hillsdale, and said, "Hey, Hillsdale, better come and get your boy." Though the guy is outside of his lane pimping mRNA when we have China building fake islands, cornering the world's market on fresh water and sand to control silicon, hacking our companies, pushing the COVID lockdowns that they themselves didn't really do. They put out propaganda. Oh, yeah, we're locked. No, they weren't. They locked down for about a month. And this general is his gig now, pushing the mRNA. So Brian Suits will join us on Tuesdays to talk about these things from a perspective of a military mind. There was a case in Seattle. We told you about the rock throwing. Nearly 200 cars were hit by rocks in the same location at the Mount Baker Tunnel. It took almost 200 incidents for the party members in Seattle to agree to grab this guy, or grab one of the people who's throwing rocks. But the only reason they grabbed him is because a citizen got out of his car and chased the guy down. Now something really, really odd is happening. Things that don't normally happen in
the
Seattle.
The King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office has filed 3 felony charges against a man accused of throwing rocks on I-90. He remains in jail tonight on $500,000 bail. The 41-year-old was arrested Tuesday after a driver who was hit by one of those rocks chased him down and helped troopers find him. The Washington State Patrol said 7 cars were hit. And because of the rise in rock throwing cases, the state cleared 2 homeless encampments yesterday along the interstate. WSDOT said the encampments posed a public safety threat.
That's the people at King 5 News actually doing some news reporting. It's a refreshing thing to hear. What's the odd part? They're charging him. Why are they charging him? Because he's an ornament. Because this case got national attention. A lot of that credit Jason Rantz for going on Fox News to talk about it. It got enough of national attention that it became an embarrassment. So just go through the steps. Almost 200 people had their windshields smashed in by rocks and metal objects. It nears 200. Now, they still hadn't cleaned out the camps. They were arguing, oh, WashDOT owns it. No, Seattle owns it. Meanwhile, boom, crash, boom, crash. Citizen tracks the guy down, holds the guy. Now there's the arrest. Now there's the focus. Now, the same King County prosecutor who refuses, openly brags about, he will not charge illegal immigrants with a DUI. He'll charge United States citizens with DUIs, not illegal immigrants, because it's not fair. So he won't charge them, won't charge felonies. Let people go involved in the assaults in Antifa-stan. Those cases are going to age out. You have a time by which you have to proceed in the cases. They're going to age out because he doesn't want anything to do with these, but he's going to charge this guy with felonies. One other thing on just little glimpses into narrative building. You know, the man, he's described in social media and by the Mockingbirds as a shopper in Montana, a shopper who confronted Tucker Carlson and called him the worst human being known to mankind while cameras were rolling. He was a shopper, just a guy in Montana shopping for stuff that, well, he lives in, you know, works in Washington, D.C. He's sort of a employee of the federal government and works in sort of federal government connected nonprofits. But he was shopping in Montana. He's just not a political dude. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH.